Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask you to grace us today with your wisdom, your mercy, as we try to put this puzzle together, Lord. Give wisdom, give discernment, and thank you so much, Father. In the name of Jesus. Okay, I spoke to you recently about the impossible fruit of restoration. And I want to continue with that today, but I'm going to take a little jog here just for a few minutes to point out that we're getting close. That I believe we're getting close. And this is going to be the impossible fruit of restoration part two. So we believe the Lord has shown us that there will be a restoration of lives in an outpouring of the Spirit after the Northern Army is defeated. How far after? I don't know, but it appears in Joel chapter 2 that it comes right afterwards. We'll see. It could be, it'll take a little longer. I don't know. This is primarily a restoration to the bride and later through the bride to the church. The Lord has shown us that this Northern Army attack symbolizes the deep state attack on the United States using what we know personally as biological weapons. And that they possibly can come from the sky or from the ground. They've already made an attempt from the ground recently, which we'll talk about in just a minute. The Northern Army has already conquered the tribes, and all that was left was Jerusalem, which John in Revelation was told represents the bride, which, by the way, is a portion of the church. It is not the church. So anyway, we'll take off here at the end of the destruction of the Northern Army when the bride, as Jerusalem, had called together fasting and praying to bring about the Lord's favor to take down this Northern Army. Okay. And Joel, I'll start in Joel 2:20-27. But I will remove far off from you the Northern Army and will drive it into a land barren and desolate, its fore part into the eastern sea and hinder part into the western sea. And its stench shall come up, and its ill savor shall come up, because it hath done great things. Verse 21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord hath done great things. Yes, he has defeated the Northern Army, and now things are going to change. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth its fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. So it's a time of bearing fruit instead of being under attack by the enemy. Many people have been under attack, demonic attack. The deep state is a demonic attack because they're primarily at the top, all Satanists. Some of them are just in there for the greed and the sex. But primarily at the top, they're Satanists. And they're being conquered as we speak. Be glad, then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he giveth you the former rain in just measure, and he causes to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Now, we don't know how long this Northern Army attack is going to take, but we're just saying that after this comes this refreshing, primarily to the bride. And as the woman church goes into the tribulation wilderness, they too are going to go through what the bride has already gone through, which is tribulation and persecution and hatred and criticism from the wicked. And the floor shall be full of wheat. So great fruit is going to be born here. People are going to be delivered of things like Like when they went through the Red Sea and the old man was put to death. You know, there's a situation there where they're filled with the Spirit, the old man is put to death, and they're going into the wilderness. Wouldn't you like your old man to be put to death, right? We believe for that. We stand upon the word about that. But God is going to bring a great manifestation of it just before the tribulation. And the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. So he's likening this northern army, which was not a bunch of worms, let me tell you. It's people getting hung up on the letter here. Worms don't burn the land, you know. As we've seen, this deep state army burn the land in many different ways. They don't burn the land. But he's likening this attack to a bunch of worms attacking his crop. And but it is an army, and it's an army that is a demonic army coming against, I'm talking about using people, coming against God's people. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and shall praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else, and my people shall never be put to shame. Well, this particular people will not, because this context is talking about Zion, the bride, the last attack of the Assyrian army against the bride. And of course, you know, they lost that one big time. By a sovereign hand of God, they lost it big time. And that's a type and a shadow of what's going to happen here as Cyrus conquers in the last battle to bring down Babylon, right? Babylon's not going away easy. It's wanting to take as much as it can, trying to save itself, et cetera, et cetera. But it's being very well backed into a corner here. What I've been saying, that this is a judgment from God, and it will take out the wicked and free people to follow the Lord. Pray that more people repent when this comes. Amen. We'd like to see the revival that comes have some people to revive, right? So let's get back to my more favorite topic here, which has to do with this, and it's what follows this destruction of the northern army, and that is the restoration. As we read the first verses we read there, the restoration. God promised a restoration. A restoration from what? Oh, the palmer worm, the cankerworm, the caterpillar that gobbled on his crop. Have you been gobbled on? Well, most people out there have been gobbled on. They've lost something to the curse along the way. And sometimes it's just demonic bondages or sicknesses or one curse after another in order to bring people to repentance. But you know, when the repentance comes, God defends his people and he restores. So I just pulled together a bunch of verses here that talk about this restoration, because it's coming, and I think it's going to be tremendous. Psalm 103, 1 through 5. That's a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases. Did you know we're coming to a time when God's going to heal all of your diseases? When the Israelites went into the wilderness, there wasn't one feeble one among them because they had eaten the lamb. Now, most Christians today haven't eaten the lamb, or they would know they have divine healing from God. Exodus 15 and 26, right? I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee, right? So there is a benefit to believing all the Bible, and lots of Christians don't do that. That's their fault. It's their problem. It could kill them. who redeemed thy life from destruction. There it is. Listen. Redeem thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy desire with good things. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Oh boy. You think that's going to happen? Huh. Yes, it is. Listen, when people walk holy, they're not under the curse. Sickness, disease, premature aging, all these things are part of the curse. And I like Job 33 and 25. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He returneth to the days of his youth. Deuteronomy 34, 7. In case you don't think that this could possibly happen in this physical life, you are wrong. I have a friend from years ago, a lady, who had asked God to restore her youth. And she looked like she was 20 years younger. And that was her big testimony to give to people, you know, how the Lord had restored her life. And her husband agreed. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He returneth to the days of his youth. Deuteronomy 34 and 7. What have those worms done to you in over the years? They've taken a lot, right? They've taken away a lot. But God's going to restore a lot more. Deuteronomy 34, 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. And his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Amen. Abraham was like 137 years old when he married Keturah, who was obviously not, beyond the age of having children. She gave him, six sons, I believe? 137 years old. Because God restored him. Isn't that awesome? And for Sarah at 100 years old to bring forth the promised seed, and she was so beautiful that the kings wanted to take her for their own. And so there was a great restoration there. So don't say it don't happen. It does happen. And I do believe this is going to be one of the rewards for walking with the Lord through all these curses and repenting and turning to Him with all of our heart and so on and so forth. Acts 3, 19 through 21. Repent ye therefore and turn again that your sins may be blotted out, so that there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Look at that. Now this is something the bride I know has done. Repent ye therefore and turn again that your sins may be blotted out, so that there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And that he may send the Christ who hath been appointed. Is he coming? Yes, he's coming. And by the way, he's coming, first of all, first job he does, according to Isaiah, is slaughter the Edomites, who hated their brother, who persecuted their brother. He comes to save his people from the Esau's, from the Ishmaelites. And that he may send Christ, who hath been appointed for you, even Jesus, whom the heavens must receive until what? The times of restoration of all things. Notice it's times of the restoration of all things. The finishing of the restoration of all things is at the end of the tribulation period, but the beginning of it is at the beginning of the tribulation period. That's what I believe. Whereof God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been of old. So if the first fruits bears the fruit of Jesus, they're not under the curse anymore. There's got to be a restoration. The curse doesn't go on and on with no purpose. And as people repent during the tribulation, they too can be restored. 1 Peter 5 and 10, and the God of all grace who called you unto his eternal glory in Christ, after that you have suffered a little while under the palm worm, the canker worm, the caterpillar, shall himself perfect, establish, and strengthen you. Perfect, establish, and strengthen you. Yes. Here's a type of it, kind of, in Revelation 21, 1 through 5. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And you know, it is being born from above. This is what this is. They're talking about physically seeing a city coming. No. The holy city, the New Jerusalem, which he says is the bride, is being born from above. This is what this is talking about. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." In other words, he's in the bride. There are many verses that prove that. "And he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his peoples, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. The first things are passed away. He that sitteth on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he saith, Write, for these words are faithful and true." Well, now, you know, I know a lot of people are caught up in the letter, but listen to this, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. "If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new." Okay, so that's where? On this earth. Now, what's going on here? Okay, well, certainly there's a manifestation when we move from here to heaven, but even there's a manifestation when we move from here into heavenly places in Christ. If any man is in Christ, that's heavenly places, right? He's a new creature. Old things passed away, behold, they are become new. So what we see here, when you come into Christ, you see the end from the beginning. You accept that you're not under the curse anymore, that you're blessed. Of course, if you walk in willful disobedience, there is no sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, like the palm worm, the canker worm, the caterpillar. You know, so you go through curses to get right with God. You want to make it easy on yourself? Serve God. Repent quickly. The quicker the better. Psalm 71, 20 and 21. "Thou who hast showed us many and sore troubles." "Wilt thou quicken us again? And wilt bring us up again from the depths of the earth? Increase thou my greatness, and turn again and comfort me." Amen. Well, there's a death and a burial, which is like the depths of the earth, and a resurrection. We go through these stages of Christ, of bringing us to Christ-likeness. And, of course, when you've been through those stages, there's a time of restoration, because you can be trusted with the blessings of God. You're not under the curse, so you're being blessed by God. This is what we're talking about, restoration. Okay, so Jeremiah 30, 1 through 3 says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, says the Lord, that I will turn again the captivity of my people Israel." Just kind of like at the time when they came through the Red Sea, right? "And Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." That was the land of milk and honey, a blessed land. And when they sinned, of course, it became just the opposite, right? And then they were taken out of their land and into captivity to the beast, which is where most people are today. One to the beast. And I'm talking about the corporate beast entity in the earth. All those who walk after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, the mark in the forehead and the hand, right? Isaiah 40 and 31, "But they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." There is restorations, right? Jeremiah 29:11-14. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope in your latter end. And you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. Hey, let's not get distracted by the things of the world, right? We need to search for God with all of our hearts. We need to be right with Him. We need to be out from under the curse, either through faith or through manifestation. And of course, faith is the way to manifestation. So we need to search God. And if you exercise faith towards Him, He will put it in your heart to do just that. And I will be found of you, says the Lord. And I will turn again your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you. You see that? It's the Lord that He called the caterpillar and the palm worm, the canker worm. He called that His great army. His great army. And it was a symbol of the northern army, which was Sennacherib's army. What did He do to Jerusalem besides sit out there and hurl insults and brag against God? He caused them to repent and to cry to God. When they did, He answered. And then He smote the northern army. And then they left. That is, those that are still alive. So He said, He'll gather them from all the places whither I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you again unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. See, they were driven out of their own land, their own promised land, the place where they stood on the promises of God and received the blessings of God. They were driven out and were under bondage to the beast. God said, repent, and He'll turn again the captivity, right? Here's a wonderful one I love, Ezekiel 37:1-10. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Yep, people are dead in their sins, right? They're living under death, destruction. And He caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. Lo, they were very dry. In other words, they've been dead a long time, and there's a lot of Christians out there been dead a long time, and there's a lot of dead Christians. Oh yeah, they're still walking around, but they're dead. And He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And you would say, well, yeah, with the mighty revival, they would, right? Amen. And I answered, O Lord, Thou knowest. Again He said unto me, prophesy over these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, which is the same word for spirit, by the way, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. There's the outpouring of the Spirit we've already talked about in different parables, but the same thing. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Behold, an earthquake. And we talked about this revival happening in the midst of a great time of earthquakes. So there it is. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I beheld, and lo, there were sinews upon them. And flesh came up, and skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then said He unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. What is this army? It is God's people coming out of their dead state, revived by a mighty move of the Spirit of God. And when does that come? Well, we just read it in Joel chapter 2. Outpouring of the Spirit to what? Restore all things. Right? Restore all things. Here's the restoration right here. The Holy Spirit's poured out. They're restored. They're a mighty army. Right now, you can't call any very large area of church people a mighty army. Just can't be done. The overwhelmed majority of God's people have never accepted the baptism of the Holy Spirit that brings these people alive. You talk about dead churches? Yeah. Why are they dead? Well, because they don't believe half the Bible. They've been taught not to. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. He is the one who manifests Christ in us and causes us to have the power of God to do the works of Jesus. And he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, Jesus said. So you see, a believer is somebody who does the works of Jesus. It's not just believing little bits and pieces of the Bible that your religion tells you you can believe. It's all of the new covenant we're supposed to believe. Everything that was offered there is offered now. And people will testify that to you. When they receive the Holy Spirit, they receive gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so a lot of the church is really dead to do the work of God. They're here to serve God, but there's no way they can do it because they've refused the truth of God. Let's go to Isaiah 60, 10 through 22. And foreigners shall build up thy walls. This is the restoration here. See, God's got important things for people who are grown up in him to do. They're not going to be slaving between here and the end of the tribulation just to make a living. No, sir. He's got things for them to do. And they're going to be called the ministers of our God. Yeah. Well, how can you minister if you just can't hardly make enough to, with the droughts and all this starvation and the things that are going on out there? How can somebody make it unless God is supplying their need? Yeah, that's right. Isaiah 60, 10 through 22. And the foreigner shall build up thy walls, and their king shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Yes, God's wrath is against the old flesh. Some people don't know why they're going through hard things with God. And it's not necessarily things that they've physically done. It's who they are. The flesh is in control. And God hates the flesh. They're at enmity one with another. That is the Spirit of God and the flesh. They're at enmity. They're enmities of one another. Enemies of one another. And the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. They're in warfare. When do you win? When do you not have to be under the curse to be made to do right? Well, that would be when you overcome, right? And then God can turn things around for you. Thy gates also shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the wealth of the nations. And he's talking about the bride here, Zion. People will be growing up into Zion. And even if they don't grow up into Zion, they will serve Zion. Zion is the capital city of God's New Testament kingdom. No, not in the flesh and not in the letter. We're not talking about some Zion over in the Middle East. We're talking about the one that's born from above. And their kings led captive. Amen. For that nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Literally. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The nations are not here for us to serve them. The purpose is for them to serve us. This is our land. We're joint heirs with Christ. But not until you overcome are you not under the curse that's administered by the beast kingdoms and Satan himself and all of his demons. You have to come out from under that curse in order to have this blessing. And you do that by overcoming. By what is overcoming? You won't know unless you read the scripture. Overcoming is being in right relationship to the Word of God. So the nations that don't serve these overcomers are going to be wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine, the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. You know where his feet are in Ephesians, right? Chapter 1, where Jesus is the head of the body, and the body has feet, and he's put all the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness under the feet of the body. And the body is the people of God, right? And the sons of them that afflict thee shall come bending unto thee. And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Because all of God's people were to serve Zion, the bride. And when they rebelled, what did they do? They went and made golden calves. They served the golden calves, and they made ministers who were not Levites. They were not ordained by God, and that's exactly what they've done. God hadn't ordained any minister out there that's not filled with the Holy Spirit. But he hasn't ordained any minister out there that hadn't been an overcomer, too. To him that overcometh will I give dominion over the nations, right? Verse 15, whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man pass through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency and a joy of many generations. So there's a time when you go through a crucifixion, forsaken and hated. When you come through the crucifixion and you come out the other side, if you've been submitted to the crucifixion, well, then you can have a blessing. That's what God's prepared. So that no man pass through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the nations, and shalt suck the breast of kings. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. You're about to see some of this when the first fruits is manifested. You're about to see God bless a people, and this is going to help other people to look and see who's right and who's wrong, because the people who are still under the curse have no right to lead other people. They don't know how to lead people. They're not led themselves. Verse 17, for brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. Wow, that's a revaluation. Which is exactly what's coming. And I will also make thy officers peace and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, desolation nor destruction within thy borders. So here's the people that have come out the other side and are no longer under the curse. They're no longer needing crucifixion by the wicked. But thou shalt call thy wall salvation and thy gates praise. The sun shall no more be thy light by day, neither by for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord will be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. And he talks about these same people also in Revelation. Thy sun shall no more go down. In other words, you're not led by what you see with your eyes. You have a light from within. Neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Look at that. And the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. So these people have come to this glory in order to glorify God. Where is that needed? Not in heaven. It's on the earth that that's needed. The little one shall become a thousand, and the small one a strong nation. This is a great revival he's talking about. It's like the dry bones. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Here's another restoration, which is given. It was given to Jesus, and it's going to be given to the man-child ministry. Amen. Isaiah 61, 1 through 11. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Of course, that was Jesus when he came. Also, Mark chapter 4 quotes this. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Well, isn't that what Moses did? He was a man-child to lead God's people out of bondage in Egypt through the Red Sea to get rid of their oppressors, their captors, and out the other side to go through the wilderness to the Promised Land to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So there are many people bound, and we all have some success in helping them to be free, always have, but it's nothing like what's coming. There's a day of wonderful grace coming. Just like when Jesus came and there were so many sick people, so many people under curses of different kinds, so much need, and he met those needs. So, it goes on to say, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. See, we're coming to the year of the Lord's favor. And don't we need it? Oh, my. And the day of vengeance of our God. Well, the man-child ministry is coming this time with more than just favor. Bringing judgment. And the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. So here we are. It's a release of the captives, a comfort to those who mourn, the bondage that they've lived under all these years. God is going to set the captives free, just like he did at the Red Sea. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, that's the bride, to give unto them a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Notice the restoration here. Instead of ashes, they got a garland. And instead of mourning, they got the oil of joy. And they got a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I know people have a spirit of heaviness, condemnation. They're serving different spirits because they haven't forgiven. You know, Jesus warned us, Matthew 18, 34 and 35, that if we don't forgive our brother from the heart, he'll turn us over to the tormentors. And these are demon spirits. They torment people with different kinds of torments. There's a way. The way is forgive everybody. Don't hold any personal vindictiveness or bitterness towards anyone. For no reason. It's to save you, right? So, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes. Well, the old wastes you could consider to be what Israel and Jerusalem was before they were taken into captivity. And all that was ruined and destroyed by the beast, just as it is in our lives. And we rebuild the kingdom of God. We come back out of captivity to rebuild the kingdom of God. And that's what this is all about. They shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. What happened? Well, the abomination, which was what they were, ended up in a desolation. That's where they all end up. The abomination of desolations. The former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Amen. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Why does this blessing come upon the bride? You know, because they've gone through their crucifixion as a first fruits, not the first fruits. I think the first fruits is the man child, but a first fruits of the rest of the church, I guess you could say. So they're restoring the kingdom of God as it was a type of in the Old Testament. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Yep. Why is that? Well, it's because you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. They got a job to do. To him that overcometh, will I give authority over the nations, right? So they have a work to do. They don't have time to do the plowing, the vine dressing, and all these things. God's got other people that'll handle that while these people go out and do what they're supposed to do. Restore the kingdom. And the kingdom is made of people, right? People walking in holiness towards God. And you shall eat the wealth of the nations. And in their glory shall you boast yourselves. Yes. Instead of your shame, you shall have double. So they're not robbed and plundered by the palm worm, the caterpillar, etc. Right? They're going to have a blessing. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, that's the only place this can happen because that's the only place you can build the kingdom, they shall possess double. An everlasting joy shall be unto them. You see, joy is going to come on the overcomers as they come out of bondage to the old man, like in Egypt, and serve God with all their heart. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery with iniquity. And, of course, that's what's happened to the bride and the man-child. They've gone through times of robbery, plundering, had to learn to turn the other cheek, all these things, you know. And I will give them their recompense in truth. Amen. So God is going to recompense them with restoration. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the nations, their offspring among the peoples. Is that the offspring who walk in the flesh? Well, who are the offspring of the righteous? And what seed do we sow that brings forth offspring? It's the seed of the Word of God, right? Am I saying that God won't bless our physical offspring? No, I'm not. He gives them favor to come into the kingdom, but you don't put the cart ahead of the horse when they come into the kingdom. They too have to be crucified so that they too can have this blessing and are not hindered from doing the work of God in anything that they do. Is this a prosperity teaching, David? No, it's not, because if you have all you need, you have all you need and you're ready to help someone else. And that's what the Bible says. And you give, and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Right? Amen. And all that see them shall acknowledge them that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. This is something we find common to the people who have come through their own personal wilderness and their own personal crucifixion and come out into the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. There's no curse on the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Garments are our works, according to the scriptures. That represents our works. And the works of salvation are the works of Jesus, of course. And he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with a garland, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth its bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, that's what? Resurrection life, right? Bearing fruit, right? So the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Before all the nations. This is not in heaven, folks. God is going to have a people that bear fruit, and they bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. And they need a witness among the nations. You know, the church has been a very poor witness of the fruit of Jesus Christ, because the fruit of Jesus is his works, his life, his words, which are not in the mouths of most Christians. In fact, Christian means Christ-like, so most Christians can't be blamed for being that, right? So, Christ-like is to walk in the steps of Jesus, not in the steps of these modern-day preachers. They don't look like Jesus at all. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 10. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, because that's how God guides us down the road, right? It's the carrot and stick approach. The carrot to lure you on for better things, and the stick if you don't. Which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among the nations. Yep, you'll be thinking about when you went through the blessing and when you went through the cursing, and you'll understand. Right? It's just like a kid getting chastened by their father. It has to be done. He chastens every kid that he receives, right? Whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. So, when you're driven out among the nations, under the authority and dominion of the beast, there isn't a lot of blessing there. It's kind of a slave driving type thing and making bricks without straw. You know? So, but you can come out of that. They did. And shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice, according to all that I command thee this day. Thou and thy children, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul. Then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee. The captivity is a crucifixion. It's kind of like sending people to boot camp. They come out saying, "Yes, sir." Yeah. Well, the Lord does that. He teaches us to be obedient, to be humble and submissive to his voice, to hear him and follow him. And will return and gather thee from all the peoples, praise the Lord, because God's people have been taken into captivity to the beast all around the world. Whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee, and he has, and if any of thine outcasts be in the uttermost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence he will fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed. And thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. Isn't this what we want? People are looking for this. Well, we are coming to a time when the first fruits are going to receive it and be a demonstration to the second, third, fourth, and fifth fruits, right? And people are going to learn lessons. You know, in Malachi it says, "Then shall you return and discern between him that serveth God and him that doesn't serve God." You can compare. You can look at the difference. Now, the people of God who are going through the wilderness, the coming wilderness, the church, so to speak, they'll be able to look and see the blessing of God upon the man-child ministry. And in turn, also, the bride is seeing the blessing of God, and they want that too, you know. And so when the church realizes how beautiful the bride is and how she was chosen by God and how that's what they want, they'll also seek holiness and righteousness and purity and to come through the death, burial, and come into the resurrection, right? And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart. That means cut away all the flesh from your heart. And the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live. Yeah. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Over and over he said that. And so keeping his word is the most important thing. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies. See, the ones that he's had upon you will be put upon them, because now he's finished his work on you. He used them on you, right? And there's going to come a time that all the curses that have come upon you are going to be put upon them. And on them that hate thee, that persecuted thee. Yes, the blessings will come upon these people. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in all the work of thy hand, and in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. So you see, we just need to make it easy on ourselves, don't we? Serve God with all of our heart. In anything that you lack, you can also go to God and ask him for it. And he said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you receive them and you shall have them. See, that's an easy way. People are struggling, trying to work up things in themselves. And really, we need to just go to God by faith and then enter into the rest and thank him for it, right? And finally, verse 10 says, if thou shalt obey the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Oho. So there is a benefit, and it comes from people seeking God in his word, desiring after the kingdom of God, right? And Hosea 6, 1 through 3. Come and let us return unto the Lord. Where have they been, right? Well, they've been away from the Lord. The previous chapter talks about that, how God turned away from them. He wasn't going to come back until they sought him. And you know what? In the misery of the things that are coming, people are going to seek the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. And he's going to come. But not necessarily in the way they suspect. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. Like after a spanking, you get the blessing, right? He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. And after 2 days, will he revive us. And on the third day, he will raise us up. Revived and raised up. That's the blessing, right? And we shall live before him. And let us know. Let us follow on to know the Lord. His goings forth is as sure as the morning. And he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. And there you have it. There's the way the Lord's coming. He's coming by the Holy Spirit. He's coming by an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the people of God. And the Holy Spirit, of course, takes of mine, Jesus said, and declares it unto you. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit's job to recreate Christ in you, which is the only hope of glory, the Bible says, right? Okay, Isaiah 2, 1 through 3. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow into it. This is talking about dominion, right? The people of God who overcome, like Zion, are going to be above the nations. The mountain of the Lord's house, which is in Zion, is on the tops of the mountains, which is the kingdoms of this world. They're going to exercise dominion over the kings of this world. And the Bible says, and they rule upon the earth. That's right. The overcomers are going to rule upon the earth. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord, of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Just what like it was in the Old Testament, in the great heyday of the kingdom of God in the Old Testament. When, for instance, David ruled over the bride, who ruled over the other tribes. So the revival is going to start from the man-child through Zion to the people. The people are going to come to Zion to serve under Zion. You know, Zion was the place where there was representatives from all the other tribes there to represent their tribe before the king. And and that was the leadership that God ordained until they fell into apostasy, and then things started crumbling, right? Let's look at Isaiah 49, 13 through 23. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people. What's he comforting them from? Well, they got a whooping, you know. People of God get their whoopings. All of us have gotten our whoopings. So he comforted his people from the time of chastening. And he's chastened every son that he's received, the Bible says. So, and will have compassion upon his afflicted. He's trying to beat the flesh out of them, and he is doing a good job. And the question is, will we be one of those whom he has sanctified, who has submitted to his chastenings and humbled ourselves to his chastenings? But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. So you can see where they are when God's calling them into the blessing. The Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, these may forget, yet will not I forget thee. For behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Still speaking about Zion, right? And thy children make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go up forth from thee. It's because the chastening is over, and now he's going to comfort his people. The chastening is over. You see, now we're coming to the time of the chastening being over for the first fruits. And the church then has to go into the tribulation for 3.5 years of relative peace under the man-child ministry to learn to put the church back together, to learn to build the kingdom. And then they are ready to face the beast in their own crucifixion in the second 3.5 years, which is Revelation 13. And here the beast crucifies those saints to get them prepared to meet the Lord who is coming at the end of the tribulation period. Amen. And one of them is an epiphany and the other one is a parousia. The first one is an epiphany. It's God coming in his people, shining forth from his people. And the second one is the parousia, where the Lord himself comes to take his people. But he's coming to pick the fruit, not the plant. Verse 18 says, "Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee." This is an experience that Zion is about to have very soon. People coming because they've been prepared. The blessing has been restored, so much so that they're able to support the people of God. "As I live, says the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them as with an ornament, and gird thyself with them like a bride." This is the restoration of the bride and of the people of God, who learn that they need the wise guidance of the bride to be restored themselves. That's why in Song of Solomon they say, "Return, return, O Shulamite," that is the perfected one, "that we may look upon thee." They need to look on the bride. They need to know, they need an example to follow of how to walk in the steps of Jesus, right? So God's always raised up a first fruits to be a demonstration to his people, and some rebelled, you know, like the religious leaders, and some humbled, and a remnant was restored. In verse 19, "As for thy waste and desolate places, and thy land that hath been destroyed, surely now shalt thou be too straight for the inhabitants, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far away." Yep, the beast is going to flee. You know, like the Northern Army did, right? "The children of thy bereavement shall yet say in thine ears, the place is too straight for me, give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thy heart, who hath begotten me these, seeing I have been bereaved of my children?" Yeah, because they were taken into captivity. And now God's prepared a children to come to the bride to be raised up by the bride. Whereas before, she was bereaved of her children. There's a testing that came in order to separate from the bride those that don't really desire to bear fruit more than they desire to go their own way. So God has separated them. "And am solitary, an exile, and wandering to and fro. And who hath brought up these?" In other words, where did all these people come from? "Behold, I was left alone, and these, where were they?" It's going to be a surprise to the bride, right? "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations, and set up my ensign to the peoples, and they shall bring thy sons in their bosom, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders." Oh, so here's a fruit of a people who are coming to the bride to learn how to walk as disciples of Christ and be part of the rebuilding of the waste places and the rebuilding of the kingdom. "And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. And they shall bow down to thee with their faces to the earth, and lick the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, and they that wait for me shall not be put to shame. Psalm 71:20. Thou who hast showed us many and sore troubles will quicken us again. There it is, the restoration, quickening, which means to make alive, right? And wilt bring us up again from the depths of the earth. Amen. Coming up, a resurrection life. 2 Kings 8:1-6. Now, Elisha had spoken unto the woman whose son he had restored to life. He raised up her fruit, right? Her personal man-child fruit. Saying, arise, and go thou and thy household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine. And it shall also come upon the land 7 years. Yes, it will. And the woman arose, and did according to the word of the man of God, and she went with her household, and sojourned in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. Yep, and a lot of people are going to sojourn in the land of the Philistines. The old man, right? The enemy and the old man, 7 years. And it came to pass, notice her man-child was born at the beginning of 7 years, right? The woman's man-child. And so it will be with the corporate man-child body at the beginning of 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. So this sojourning, of course, was, you know, being under the hand of the beast for all those years and returning to her promised land. Now the king was talking with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored to life him that was dead, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman. God's a great coordinator, isn't he? This is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. Now, that's a great restoration. All because she bore the fruit of the man-child, personally and corporately. Amen. A great restoration. You know, everything the palm worm, the canker worm, the caterpillar took, God restored. He multiplied it back. The blessing came after the old man, the beast, the northern army, was put to death. See, we have to see that that's happened in our life. I know there's two times that this happens. There's once before the tribulation for the first fruits, and then it happens also in the tribulation for the church. Psalm 66:12 says, thou didst cause men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Isn't that something? Runs you through the fire a while, quenches you a while. Runs you through the fire a while, quenches you for a while. Gives you a little rest sometimes between tribulations, things. Well, you make steel hard that way, you know. You can heat it up, it's kind of straw colored, and quench it, and it gets very hard if it's got a high carbon content. So It's the Lord preparing us, getting us ready to be something he can use, right? So this is our expectation, you know. We go through the fire and through the water, but he wants to bring us into a wealthy place if we won't tarry in the wrong place, you know, in the breaking forth of children, right? In the place of breaking forth of children. We don't want to tarry there. We want to go ahead and bear the fruit. Amen? Amos 9 and 14. And I will bring back the captivity of my people Israel. And they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. This is a rebuilding of the kingdom, which has been torn down in the lives of so many people who were taken into captivity because they departed from the word of the Lord. Notice, every time God brought a beast's kingdom to conquer his people is because they departed from the word of the Lord. That's where the church is now. It's departed from the word of the Lord. There is only one seed that can bring forth Jesus Christ, and it's the word. He's called the word of God. So each seed brings forth after its own kind. So we must put the word in the womb of our heart so that it can bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. That's the only fruit that's acceptable. In the parable of the sower, as we know, 3 out of 4 fell away after receiving the word. Only one bore fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Are you a part of that remnant? See, we can make it easy on ourselves. There were people that died in Egypt. So they will build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. Rather than the enemy coming and gobbling up the fruit, their fruit, right? When they had to conquer the promised land, they went in there to kill the enemy, the old man of the land, and to take their gardens and to bear their own fruit in those gardens. Not the fruit of the old man, the fruit of the new man. Amen? So we've been called of God. Don't tarry. Don't waste a lot of time in the world. Don't get distracted. The most important thing is to sow the word of God in your heart and live it. And you can do that through faith in him because he made reconciliation for you. He exchanged his life for your life. That's why Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. Anything you want from God, it's already been done. It's already been given. The reconciliation is accomplished. The exchange is accomplished. That's what reconciliation means. It's been accomplished. So you just go to God in prayer and get what you need. The righteous shall live by faith, right? If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So praise God. We need to be busy building the kingdom. This is how we build the kingdom. Don't get distracted. Amen? The first fruits are the first fruits. It's a great benefit to be in the first fruits. God will soon show who the first fruits are. Amen? And guess what the first fruits look like? They look like the Father, Jesus. Isaiah 9:6 calls him Everlasting Father, or literally Father of Eternity, because he's the one that sows the seed of the word in your heart, which brings forth the fruit. And each seed brings forth after its own kind. So when this fruit is born to you, you will look like him. Beware of the children that don't look like the Father. Must be a foreign seed in there somewhere. Yeah. See, people are proud to look like their preachers, but they're not so proud to look like Jesus, because if they were, they'd be studying the Bible and paying more attention to that. You've failed if you turn out to look like some of these preachers, most of them, as a matter of fact. You failed. You must read the Word of God. It's the only seed that brings forth Jesus Christ. The only one. And you'll find something else out. My old friend Ray Taylor, years ago, he had been teaching the Baptist Sunday School for years and years and years. He got a sudden revelation. Popped into his head. He was going around telling everybody, it's all still true. It's all still true. That was what he would tell everybody. Because they had lied to him. They had told him how much of this passed away. In fact, most all the supernatural part of it passed away. So they wasted their lives. He got a revelation late in life. It's all still true. It's an eternal covenant. It was from the beginning called an eternal covenant. Nobody can change it. Men have changed it, but they've missed God. Men sow their own seed, but they don't bring forth Jesus. I mean, you can go and be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, because you're always learning these things that men tell you is the truth, and they haven't studied the truth for themselves. You need to go right back to the truth itself and study it and put it in your heart, so that that which is born of you will be the fruit of Jesus. That's the only fruit that's acceptable in the kingdom of heaven. And that's the only way to build the New Testament. And we've been talking about the coming restoration. I'd like to talk a little bit more about that. Let's talk about some things that we should expect before the restoration starts. The Northern Army, as you know, in Joel chapter 2, was defeated before Joel's restoration. I'm going to share something with you here. This is Sandy Shaw's revelation that we called left-wing legislation, kill all the babies and the Christians. And that was given to her on 2/27/19. And it was transcribed by Don and Merlene Laughlin. Okay. Now, keep in mind that this was about a year before COVID-19 hit this nation. And Sandy said, in this dream, there is a huge conference room and a huge round table with a hole in the middle. But I was standing in the middle, and no one could see or hear me. I could see the people were talking and having conversation, but I could not hear them. Here I asked the Lord, why can't I hear them? And really tell on the devil and what he's doing. And he said, loud and clear, pray. I said, what? And he said in a strong voice, pray. Well, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, was sitting on the left side of me. Some were congressmen and some were senators. There were doctors sitting on the right side of the table. The people on the left were writing down what the doctors were saying. Now, all this collusion by the leftist political leadership led to COVID pandemic, and also their attempts to kill babies, whether in the mother's womb or afterwards. They were there talking for a while, and then all of a sudden, through the left door, Pelosi came in. And they handed her a paper they were working on. It was a bill they wanted to pass. Pelosi was looking at it, and all of a sudden, I could hear her say, oh, good. These brainless idiots won't know what hit them. There is no way they can understand this. Not only will they be able to kill all the babies, but we will be able to get rid of all the insubordinate Christians, too. And that's when I woke up, she said. As you know, this plandemic vaccine has caused an 80% increase in miscarriages among vaccinated pregnant women and has also caused a large increase in infertility. And also they are killing many apostate Christians who are trusting in men who planned a depopulation of Christians. And they even succeeded in enlisting many pastors to persuade their congregations to take the vaccine. I got by faith at random, she said, for this dream, Ezekiel 12 and 14. And then Merlene got by faith at random, Ezekiel 12 and 13. Wow, pretty good. So here they are in that reverse order, Ezekiel 12 and 14. And I will scatter towards every wind all that are round about him to help him and all his bands, and I will draw the sword after them. Well, he here is Zedekiah, the apostate leadership over apostate Jerusalem, which was the leadership of God's people. And this is also a type of the apostate leadership of the church. Verse 13, my net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. Yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. Well, how amazing that they both got the same text. And also, we have gotten this text and others like it for a long time. You'll notice in the text that God takes full credit for this. It literally is about Zedekiah's apostate administration at Jerusalem being destroyed by the Babylonians, which to us is the deep state government and its followers. And we have been shown this text represents the destruction of the apostate leadership of Christianity by this entity, and it would come by sword, pestilence, famine, and fire. We've already looked at all those verses. As did the original attack by Babylon. Ecclesiastes 1 and 9 says, that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. So all of these things are prophecies of future things. Okay, now here's a revelation. We're going to look at several different things here. We called breaking news headline, COVID mutates. This was given to Isaac Payne on 2:6 and 22. It's pretty self-explanatory. In this dream, I saw a glimpse of a news reporter on the TV. I couldn't hear the news reporter as there was no audio on the TV. It was basically a brief picture that I witnessed in this dream. The reporter was a man in a business suit. The headline that appeared on the news said, COVID mutates. 1 million people die. I knew in this dream that this mutation killed 1 million people within days. And then I woke up. Okay, so we know that there is a neo-cove that has been generated again over in Wuhan by the Chinese. And it's like 35... 35 out of 100 will die, I believe it, what they said. Okay, so it's much, much higher than COVID-19. Okay, because so I'm going to share this with you. The fully vaccinated suffering from jab-induced AIDS, government data suggests. This was Natural News by Ethan Huff on 2/10/22. The long-term effects of Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19, vaccines are finally setting in as vaccine-caused AIDS, the latest data shows. In the United Kingdom, government data shows that the number of fully vaccinated Brits may have already reached the point of no return, as many of the injected are now suffering with autoimmune disease. Getting injected, in other words, decreases one's immune capacity, and as we reported, that immune capacity continues to wane over time, hence the new designation of VAIDS, that's V-A-I-D-S, vaccine-induced AIDS. Okay? Then we pick up this from Glenda Lomax, and it's called America's Enemies overcome by her. And she said, I heard a sound in the spirit realm, the sound of boots marching. It reminded me of movies where drill sergeants yell at recruits and the troops are made to march. Boots marching mean an army is organized, ready and on the move. And I went aside into prayer, and the Lord began to speak this word. My children, America's enemies are preparing to attack. Yes, let me say the deep state is backed into a corner, very much. And they're going to do something to prove that we have to have these vaccine mandates, okay? They have been preparing for some time, and now they are nearly ready. They see the weak condition of a divided people mired in sin and confusion, a people conditioned to comfort and plenty. They are going to attack and invade, and the invasion will be massive. Their troops will cover that vast land, for they do not fight alone. Yes, there is all kinds of people that are coming across the border. An army is coming across the border, and so on and so forth. So, this is an unconventional war between the deep state Satanists and the alliance forces seeking to be free from them. And these opposing forces do not have a loyalty to just one land, but are worldwide. And this is probably the first true world war, okay? In one day, your lives in America will change. They will change from comfort and plenty to insecurity and not enough. Those who hold high positions now in businesses will scavenge in the streets with others after the enemy's troops move in. Your stores will hold no food. Your faucets will not produce water. You will be without. Of course, electricity is going down, we've heard. But we've heard it's going to be replaced by Tesla Free Energy. However, there are people out there ready and willing to try to stop that from happening. So, pray. We are currently seeing that Bill Gates and China, respectively, are number one and number two owners of farmlands worldwide and are not planting crops on this land. Also, there is a huge fertilizer shortage in addition to the worldwide trucking convoys protesting vaccine and mask murder mandates. Canadian freedom truckers and farmers continue to control the U.S. borders while trucker convoys organize across the United States, Europe, Finland, Australia, etc., etc. And we're told that the Canadian deep state is now creating a false flag event to blame on the convoys in hopes that the Canadian military will step in to arrest the insurrectionists and the terrorists. I don't know whether this, I know that just as Biden and so on and so forth have stopped the shipping of goods in, I understand that the Canadian deep state did the same here. I'm thinking they want to cause pain to the people so that they blame the trucking convoy, right? And, of course, they refused to do this. The Canadian military refused to do this, so they want to force their hand. And they're blocking supply routes and surrounding government capital buildings. But these will further affect the food supply chains and cause more empty shelves and food shortages in the stores. This is, in effect, bringing down the old deep state economy and dollar to bring in the new Nasara-Jasara economy. So have some food to multiply. There may be people around you who need it, okay? In the past, I have protected you from this enemy and others, but you have deemed I do not exist and you do not need me. So I am withdrawing my mighty hand of protection from you. Only my own will I protect and guide. To some extent, folks, I believe that any of this is can be prayed down. Not all of it. Parts of it can be prayed down. That's what the Lord's been telling us from the beginning. Proverbs 1 and 24 says, "Because I called and you refused, and I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, and when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." I want to say that a lot of Christians are seeking a political end to this thing. They're not seeking the Lord and believing the Lord. And this is, of course, idolatry with the rotten system, right? Okay, Eve Brass received this, which we called Faith Tested for Provision. And she received this on 2/10/22. "I dreamed that I was in a small room with David and Michael and several other local UBM brethren. This room had white walls and blue indoor-outdoor carpet." Well, the white walls represent sanctification from the world, which is separation from the world, same thing. And the blue on the floor represents a heavenly walk. "I and another sister each brought a package of 8 flour tortillas, totaling 16, to distribute to the brethren in the room. Everyone in the dream was hungry, and these 2 packages of tortillas was all that we had to feed everyone with. I knew in the dream that there was extreme lack and shortage of food all around the country." Well, I'm thinking that this is not only natural, but also spiritual. There is a famine of the word also, and tortillas are unleavened bread, meaning pure word, and 8 is the number of Jesus, who is the bread of life. So they need this more than food. "We started to pass them out, but realized that there wasn't going to physically be enough to go around because the young men and the older men would need more to keep up their strength." Well, let me say on the spiritual side here that the evangelists and the teachers should be the first to receive the message so that they can distribute it in a much larger way. So, we gave the men a larger portion, and the women and children got a little, just enough to sustain them. You know, Jesus taught his 12 and then the 70 and the multitudes around them. And, of course, this was multiplied as these went out in a geometric proportion. And David and I realized that there wouldn't be enough this way, so we decided to fast and give our portions to the men and just pray that the Lord would supernaturally multiply the food for us all. Well, I know you can see the natural, so I'm just going to speak about the spiritual here. And that is what the Lord did to multiply the word given. And the things that have been are the things that shall be. So this is a repetition of history, right? "And then I woke up," she says. Psalm 132:13-15 is the text that she gives. "For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my resting place forever. Here will I dwell. For I have desired it, and I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread." Amen. So you can take that physically and spiritually. And 2 Corinthians 9:7-13. "Let each man do according as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity." In other words, it's not under law, right? contrary to some people's opinion. For God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound unto you. Wow, that's powerful. That you, having all sufficiency in everything, may abound unto every good work. Another powerful promise. As is written, he hath scattered abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness abideth forever. Well, just as in the natural, as we give out the word, more will be given. Amen. And he that supplieth seed to the sower and bread for food shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. More great promises. And you being enriched in everything unto all liberality, which worketh through us thanksgiving to God. For the ministration of this service not only filleth up the measure of the wants of the saints, and let me say spiritually and physically, but aboundeth also through many thanksgivings unto God. Seeing that through the proving of you by this ministration, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession unto the gospel of Christ, and for the liberality of your contribution unto them and unto all. Amen. Well, in the natural, one of the testimonies for provision for my family after we ran out of all food in our house, and we were living by faith, we weren't receiving any monies from any churches or anything like that. We were walking by faith. We were tested with a fast for one day. My wife asked, what will we do? I said, set the table. Then the seven of us sat down, and I prayed a simple prayer, as I always say, the only kind I know. Father, you sent us here, so we ask you to fill these plates or fill our stomachs. I didn't know what was going to come out of my mouth. It just did. And it was very prophetic because the Lord did just that. Because my children, one by one, said, Dad, my stomach is full. And then they began to get up from the table. And then I realized that my stomach was full also. Well, we know Philippians 4:19 says, And my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Yes, he will. And you have to believe him for this. Now, this is just a promise. It does no good unless you exercise faith in it, right? And this fits the natural and the spiritual, too. Another time we ran out of food except for one pot of spaghetti. And we blessed it, and we ate half of it, and then we put the rest of it in the refrigerator. And in the morning, when we took it out, we were surprised to see that the pot was full again. Praise the Lord. And so we had many, many supplies that came unexpectedly. So through the many years that we were doing this, and one thing God kept supplying to me was the word to give out. And I was giving out the word all over. And praise be to God. You know, it returned and God gave me more. So, like the Israelites, you can't get anywhere in your wilderness where God can't supply your needs. If he can put it in your stomach, that's pretty good. And I believe that supplying your needs, again, is physical and spiritual. So, Vanessa Weeks got this on 3:3:19, which we call the righteous shielded during the earthquakes. So, here's another thing we're expecting. I had a dream where I was walking around in our area. It was a nice day, and I saw the land where it was evident that there had been earthquakes. And I saw places where the land was pushed up, and I saw cracks in it. Then I walked on a concrete area that was in a park-like setting, and there was a large space in between two concrete slabs, and I knew they had been torn apart by the earthquakes. In the space was a cigarette butt. Okay. I was thinking, how can people not realize that there have been earthquakes in this area? Well, I think this is a good indication that in our area, the earthquakes were not that bad, even though there were quakes and fault lines very close. Okay. We have been shown large earthquakes that parted the land and filled with water on both sides of our high valley, which was preserved. It was preserved. And I stepped over the space and saw a beautiful tree over my head. It was full of white, fuzzy blossoms. I'm thinking that this symbolizes a sign of spring and new life, not always physical spring, but at least spiritual spring, and maybe physical too. I looked up and was admiring its beauty. Then the ground started shaking and the blossoms were falling gracefully on me, covering me like a shield around me. Well, the new life of Jesus is not under the curse. Praise be to God. And we should reckon that he became accursed for us so we could have Abraham's blessings, right? I was looking up and praying, Lord, don't let any of these stones hurt my foot. She said, I don't know why I prayed that, because there were no stones or any structure around there. But I then thought of Psalm 91 and 12. They shall bear thee up in their hand, speaking about the angels, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. So as I woke up, I was feeling the glory of the Lord. Amen. And on 8:8:16, I was waiting on the Lord, and I heard in my spirit, quote, many things must happen, unquote. So I asked him, what things? And I received by faith at random Matthew 27 and 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom, kind of like with an earthquake. And the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent. So, this rending of the veil represents the rending of Jesus' flesh for us so that we can enter the safe and the holy place. And this was the first of two earthquakes, the first on the death of the Lord and the second on his resurrection on the third day. We have been shown that this is a type of the man-child ministry's spiritual crucifixion at the hands of the factious, representing a spiritual death and resurrection of the throne authority in the kingdom of God on earth. And this happens during the great quakes in the U.S., that they travel across the United States, okay? So I believe the Lord is coming in the midst of that. He's coming to manifest in his man-child in the midst of these things. The Bible puts the timing of the Lord's coming in type in the man-child body of first fruits reformers at the great earthquakes. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is what's seen here. Isaiah 64, 1 through 3 says this, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, and that thou wouldest come down, and that the mountains might quake at thy presence. As when fire kindleth the brushwood, and the fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries. This is, of course, the Lord coming to judge the faction in the church and in the government and in the world, so, and that the nations may tremble at my presence. So the Lord is coming in the midst of this earthquake. And when thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down. Yes, a lot of people are thinking peace and prosperity forever, you know. Some even say 1,000 years of peace, but they're wrong. It will come, but it's not going to come now, and we're not going to be on the earth anyway. We're going to be in heavenly new bodies. The mountains quaked at thy presence. Okay.
Another one, Haggai 2, 20 through 23. And the word of the Lord came the second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. And Paul said, once more will I shake the heavens and the earth, meaning it had happened before his time and it would happen after his time, which is true. And we know that every 3,600 years, Planet X passes through and disrupts everything. And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, which we are seeing now. As a matter of fact, those armies that are gathered out there to put on a show of World War III are now going after the deep state governments. It's happening now. And I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations, and I will overthrow the chariots. What does this have to do with Babylon? Okay, well, it does. And those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. Well, this is a Red Sea for the pursuers of God's people. We know who's pursuing them. It's very obvious. The faction in the government and the faction in the church. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, or a sign, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, Zerubbabel is a sign of the first fruits man-child, whose name means born from Babylon. And of course, he is born out of Babylon to lead God's people out of bondage to rebuild the kingdom on their promised land. Okay. So it also puts this timing of the coming of the Lord's presence in type in the man-child body when he saves Zion the bride from the faction typed by the Edomite, which is Esau's seed, the Edomite haters of God's elect. He judges them at this time and rewards the bride for faithfulness. Isaiah 62, 11 through 63 and 3. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth, Say ye to the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. So restoration is the reward for God's people. And this recompense is before him. 63 and 1 speaks of this. Who is this that cometh from Edom? It is the Lord. With dyed garments from Bozrah, which means sheepfold. It's the factious sheepfold. This that is glorieth in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and the peoples there was no man with me. Yea, I trod them in mine anger, and trampled them in my wrath, and their lifeblood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my raiment. And as we know, David, as a type of the man-child, brought God's people to the factious Edomites. Brought God's recompense to the factious Edomites. Well, you know, God is faithful to his word. Everything that he says in his word is a prophecy. Every prophecy is fulfilled in more than one way and more than once. These revelations were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come, we are told. So we pay close attention to these because these tell us what's actually going to happen. Now, we don't always interpret it perfectly. As we grow and God adds more pieces to the puzzle, we're able to put the puzzle together. And we have to be patient to do that. It takes a while sometimes. But God keeps putting the puzzle together till we understand what is coming. He's not going to do anything that he hasn't revealed to his servants, the prophets, right? So God has got a reward with him and a recompense before him. And we're going to see the recompense before we see the reward. The reward in Joel chapter 2 was that the bride and the groom came out of their closets and they were revealed for who they were, because they are hidden and God knows who they are and he's able to reveal them. Okay. And the northern army was coming down. The northern army, I believe, was Sennacherib's army. And they had already conquered the apostate northern 10 tribes who were apostate, making preachers out of those who are not ordained and worshiping a false Jesus. And Sennacherib had his way with them, conquering them, destroying them. And then he marched on to take on Zion, which was a whole different story because these people weren't idolatrous and they were calling upon the Lord and they did respect the Lord. And so in that case, they were smitten, driven into the sea in Joel chapter 2. Sounds kind of like the Red Sea, right? Driven into the sea. They were destroyed. And 185,000 of them in that time were smitten. And Sennacherib went back home and his own children killed him. The leader of that faction was killed by his own people. And also all the prophecies came to pass then, and they will come to pass now. And sometimes they don't manifest in a physical way, but a spiritual way. But as you stop and meditate on it and ask the Lord, he can show you what that means. So, and as we know, David, as a type of the man-child, brought God's recompense to the factious Edomites. Yep. They hate him, and they want to remove him, and they're going to fail. Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you so much for what you're doing, and we know you have a wonderful plan to save your saints from Babylonish captivity, and we're looking forward to it, and we know that you're going to judge those who are keeping them in bondage to apostate religion, and we thank you for doing that too, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, thank you so much, saints. God bless you, and we'll do this again sometime.